Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Charlie Kirk on our campus. We don't want fascists on our campus. We don't want to support that here.
What is fascism?
Immigration.
I don't know. I'm not like a political scientist. I'm not good at interviews. You should ask someone else.
She says, this is on a college campus. They don't want Charlie Kirk there. Why? Because I don't want fascists. The obvious question is, what is a fascist? She's got like two blue fuzzy puffballs on her pigtails or whatever. She's got a drink in her hand. And her answer is, I'm not a political scientist. I don't know what we're actually accusing this woman of here, but these are the people who are leading the charge against the Charlie Kirks of the world because they use the big ol' F word, fascist. And I came across one of the episodes of Ideas Have Consequences. Larry Alex Taunton joins us right now. I really encourage you to go to YouTube, subscribe to his channel. You will love the culture discussion that takes place in the context of all the political stuff that we're following all the time. Larry, thank you so much for the time today. It's a pleasure to have you back.
Great to be with you, Annie.
That F word, that fascist word, it's been peddled against President Trump for the entirety of the time that he's been in the political eye. And what the left does the best is they grab a hold of vocabulary, they jumble it all up, and then they repurpose it to keep people like you quiet. And they just haven't been successful quite yet in keeping Larry Alex Taunton quiet. Tell me a little bit about this word fascism and why you are out there trying to make sure people understand what it actually means.
Yeah, thanks, Annie. The problem, I think, is that you're seeing a lot of terminology being used, like woke right and alt-right and new right, and almost all of it is related to the right, which we associate or should associate with conservatism. But I keep saying to people that terms like alt-right, which is supposed to mean a type of fascism, that woke right, which is an oxymoron, that you can't go in opposite ideological directions and arrive at the same place, which is totalitarianism. So when I was a graduate student, you know, studying history, also when I was an undergraduate, the way the political scientists liked to teach it, and that's because they were running really a psyop to protect the left, is they would say, oh, fascism is a product of the extreme right. Well, no, it isn't. It's socialism. It's a type of socialism. It's a bastard twin of Marxism, of communism. Both of them are on the left. So what I'm just simply trying to say to people is this, Annie, that left and right, put in the most simple terms, is the further you go to the left, the more extreme the government controls. And of course, you eventually arrive at totalitarianism. The further you go to the right, the less government controls. And you eventually arrive at anarchy. But the right, as we know it, conservatism, as we know it, is based in a Judeo-Christian worldview, specifically the Ten Commandments.
Yeah. I was listening to the episode this morning while I was getting ready to come into work, and you're talking about, and we can't possibly break it all down here, and I wouldn't want you to. I would want the listeners to go to Ideas Have Consequences on YouTube and watch it. It's a couple hours, maybe, the segment. But you're talking about conservatism kind of as a vocabulary word, but also how Christianity fits into that, because it certainly does. Culture does shape politics, and politics are downstream often from culture. But then you start talking about woke. And one thing that you said in this episode that made me kind of sit back, and it just kind of cleared the fog away from a lot of what we're seeing right now, especially with influencers. And remember, influencers overall, they want clicks and likes and reaction, is that the difference between woke and anti-woke and the conservative right. And it is conservative to be anti-woke, but anti-woke isn't inherently just conservative.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And that's really kind of what started me on this path, Annie, because I'm not trying to be the gatekeeper of what is and isn't conservative, but rather I am trying to say We need to have clarity about what we mean by conservative. And so the conservatives, specifically Christian conservatives, I get a little concerned when I see them latching onto personalities that they think are someone who shares their worldview. Elon Musk does not share a Christian worldview. He's transhumanist. He's atheistic. He's a guy who has a huge belief in artificial intelligence. He wants to live forever. But he's anti-woke. And so you see him saying things about, for instance, transgenderism and anarchy and, domestic terrorism. And you go, hey, that's my guy. That's my bro. We agree with each other. But as President Trump discovered, when you started getting down into the details, he realized, but he isn't. He's not a conservative. Andrew Tate is another. A lot of young conservative males. The guy is a misogynist pig.
Yes.
He is not. He's a Muslim. There's nothing in his worldview that is Christian. But because he's anti-woke, and all Muslims are, by definition, anti-woke and anti-Semitic, he appeared to be a conservative for a while. And the same is true with, say, individuals like Jordan Peterson and Candace Owens. And there are several others that fall into this camp. And I'm just saying to people, listen, the things you hear them say that you like, that resonate with your worldview, feel free to take them. Feel free to lean into those things. But don't just suddenly think everything this person says has got to be true.
Yes, so much so. Larry Alex Taunton with us right now, host of Ideas Have Consequences, a must subscribe to YouTube channel. I encourage you to check it out right now and watch the content. Lots of stuff. The breadth of what you cover from a global standpoint, but also cultural and faith-based. I appreciate it very much so. And I think, you know, on this, we're, 7 months or so, 200 days out of the inauguration of President Trump back into his second term. Coming out of a campaign year, especially like the wild one that we just came out of, it's very easy to fall into these tribal red, blue, and it's like it's either red or it's blue. And if it's not red, it's blue. If it's not blue, it's red, whatever. When you highlight Christianity and faith, I appreciate that so much. I lean into it so much because all of that, as a Christian myself, and I talk about that on my, you know, secular talk show here quite a bit. That's just part of who I am. I always have to remind myself that's the first part of who I am. And everything else has to come downstream. And to your point, when you see the Andrew Tates of the world, Elon Musk, you might intersect on some individual things. Okay, high five, move on. But we have to be very quick to not give over of ourselves the principles that should precede all of the things that come politically.
Exactly. The enemy of your enemy is not necessarily your ideological friend, and they may have a very different agenda than the one that you believe in. And of course, I as a Christian, you as a Christian, there's a worldview, you know, that comes out of that. Certain things that I believe in, and human freedom, human dignity are part of those things. And that's the lens I'm trying to look at the culture through. And that Ideas Have Consequences. That's what I'm trying to help people navigate the culture to understand those kind of things. Listen, there's a small distinction here that I want to make that I think is important, because you've started by asking me what fascism is, and I didn't answer the question. Fascism, as I've said, is an expression of the extreme left. It's totalitarianism. But the only difference between it and communism, Marxism, is this, that in Marxist thought, in communist socialist thought, all the means of production are owned by the state. There's no private property. In fascism, there is private property, but only kind of sort of, because it's all controlled by the state. And it's usually directed for the purpose of war. And you may say, well, how is the American left fascist, given your definition? Because ESG and DEI, those are fascist controls on corporate America, designed to put all the reins of power into the hands of the left for warfare. Against who? Ukraine? No, against the American people. That's what it is. And Nazism, by the way, is just a subset of that. It's a type of fascism that is anti-Semitic. All fascists aren't necessarily anti-Semites, but all Nazis are.
Oh, man, it's so important to highlight who the enemy of fascism is, or ultimately communism. It is that when we hear President Trump say America first and we start talking about populism and all this stuff, I think that a lot of people can latch on. They're like, okay, I like Trump. I like the Trump guy. I like the way he talks, or I don't like the way he talks. The consequences are steep. It's like everything that the Western world is established on, an actual true freedom lying with the American people. It seems as though the left, the Democrat Party, and whatever the driving force behind that is, or whoever the driving force behind that is right now, it seems as though they despise everything that America has ever been, everything that you could ever dream it could be, and they want to pull it back from the American people. How close is the Democrat Party today from having success in doing that?
Well, fortunately, with the most recent presidential election, as you point out, they're not nearly as close as they were. I believe, and I'm not the first to say this, you've probably said it on your show or had guests who did, that another, you know, Biden, Obama, Kamala Harris kind of term might have been the end for America. But you just used a word there, Annie, that's another one that they want to redefine, and that's populism. Populism isn't inherently good or bad. It's just an uprising of common people. So the American Revolution was populist in nature. William Wallace led a populist rebellion. The French Revolution was populist and it was evil. You know, so populism is just an uprising of the common people. And they want you to think that's fascist, that's Nazi, that's evil. And it's because, Annie, they're elitists. They are elitists. What we are seeing is a global war of elitists, people who think the rules just simply don't apply to them, and the common people around the world. I'm presently, you know, speaking to you from the birthplace of Nazism. I'm in Berlin. I would have liked to have given you a better view of the city, but the light is such, I don't think you'd have seen me. But, you know, it's fascinating to me to see what's happening on this continent in South America, in North America, Central America. You're seeing the same thing, a populist uprising against elitists. And I sit with them every year, Annie, at Davos, at the World Economic Forum, and I just pretend to be one of them. And it's, you know, it's astonishing the crap that comes out of their mouth. They are sure rules do not apply to them.
Yeah, they just live in a separate reality that they don't have to dip into, I guess, the ones with the little people like me and the folks listening here, what we actually experience on a day-to-day basis. Last question before we let you go. When we're speaking with Larry Alex Taunton, please consider finding Ideas Have Consequences on YouTube and watch it. You will be so glad that you did. I think about how those elitists, they do need the little people in order to get to where they're going. And it's such an obvious play that everything has to be based in emotions. They don't want people to think. They want people to feel, and they want to manufacture those feelings. And to the point of the whole purpose of your latest episode here, they redefine words to invoke very, very strong emotions to marginalize people, to use them to gain more power. What is the end result of where the left is going right now? Seems like there's a smaller group of them, but they're screaming even louder than they ever have before. Is this going to snuff itself out, or how does this end?
Well, that's a very good question, and I don't know if they're given odds in Vegas, but as it goes right now, I mean, Trump is winning, and his administration is winning. Don't pay attention to all the noise of all the you know, the nonsense about the Epstein files and all this kind of stuff that's the shiny object meant to distract you. Rather, pay attention to what's happening. I mean, his executive orders, the investigations they have underway, the economy, the tariffs, he's winning. He's absolutely winning. Now, in the long term, will he win? I don't know. It depends on whether or not the American people wake up and begin to believe in themselves, their God, their vision as a people once again. I don't know if that's going to be the case or not. But Annie, you were talking about, you began the segment by saying that, you know, Charlie Kirk was being, you know, some campus. They didn't want him to come and speak, and they're calling him a fascist or a Nazi or some nonsense like that. This is where the left is now. They don't want to engage you in debate. You know, used to 20 years ago when I was speaking on college campuses, kids would line up to take me on. They might be angry. They may not make really good or even coherent arguments in some instances, but at least they were prepared. They believed that you had the right to come and speak and to share your views. Now they're all being taught, which is Saul Alinsky, Marxist tactics, to shut you down. And this is the stuff that's coming out in all these investigations, election rigging. These are people, Annie, who have total disregard for democracy. They do not believe in a will of the people. They believe in themselves. They believe in power. It's all about power.
Amen. Larry, Alex Tun, what a pleasure to have you, even from Berlin. Thank you for making the time. What time is it there right now in Berlin?
It is about 8:18 here, and I am going to go and get some dinner because I am starving.
Well, thank you. We're going to have lunch here in a little bit, and we appreciate your time. We'd love to have you back.
Always good to be with you, Annie. Take care.
You as well. Bye-bye. One of our first conversations that we had with Larry Alex Taunton was, it was going into Christmas time, and he had written this post on X, and he was just talking about how important women are when it comes to Christmas. And I remember seeing that, and it was just such a sweet, sentimental post that he put up, and he was just appreciating his wife for the way that she decorates the home and makes a house a true home. And I think my recollection was that he recalled his mother doing the same, and just about how a woman has this ability to do something that if the task were put on him, it would not look the same. And he just appreciated for it. And I thought it was absolutely beautiful. And he came on the show to talk about that. And I've been following him ever since. And I encourage you so much so to do that. He's Larry Taunton on X. But seriously, go subscribe to his YouTube channel. You will be very glad. A lot of the stuff that we talk about here when it comes to culture and faith, I know that's not for everybody who listens to the show. But I know a lot of you do appreciate it. You tell me that when I meet you quite frequently. If you're in that camp, you're going to love Larry Taunton. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back. Ryan back in studio with us here. Are we speaking on at 1:30?
Yes.
What's the 1:30 guest?
Jenny Schwartz, Corporal Jenny Schwartz. She's the public information officer at the Clayton Police Department. And she is going to talk to us about some firebombings or car fires that were targeted at Jewish individuals in Clayton.
Death to IDF written on a Clayton street. This is a firstalert4.com, Channel 4's website. A fire damaged multiple cars. There is a lot of hate involved in this crime towards Jewish people. And it's an important story. It's a local story, and I want to highlight it. So we will speak with our guest at 1:30.
Corporal Jenny Schwartz.
All right. I'm looking forward to speaking and having that conversation and finding out what exactly took place in Clayton. Quick break. Back in a minute.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
One Direction, emo.
One Direction is? I don't
your
even
definition,
know anymore.
You basically just use emo as an insult.
Yeah.
You don't like it, you're like, that's emo. That's emo.
And if it came from that rough time period, then yes.
What rough time period? You put Lit in One Direction in the same category.
The mid-2000s. When was Lit? Late 90s? 99?
It would definitely be 90s.
Early 2000s.
I bet it was 99 or 2000.
Did you get to listen to Larry Taunton talking?
It was awesome. I listened to the whole thing.
Gosh, I can't. I don't make time for like long form audio or video stuff very often, but Larry's stuff is so good. And like I was saying, I know that there are folks out there, and you're secular, you don't have a you're not attached to a faith or whatever, you're agnostic, whatever it might be. And if you listen to the show, you know that I do have a Christian faith. It's the most important part of who I am as a person. I try not to beat people over the head with it, but you can't understand anything about me without understanding that first. So, you know, when I tell you that I'm a mother of four, that's a part of me. And me being a Christian, that's a part of me. The way he talks about, he talks to people who are Christians, but fully invested in the political world, which I think we have a right and responsibility to be. To me, it's a perspective shift that gets me right again, correct again, right focused again. Because what he was saying there, and he talks about this a lot in his YouTube episode, the most recent one where he's kind of talking about fascism, but he talks about, there's this phrase being thrown about right now, the woke right. And I've never heard that said by people who are trying to benefit the conservative side of the aisle. It doesn't seem like something that's, I don't know why we would be trying to make the voter base smaller, but the voter base shouldn't be our only focus when it comes to these issues. It shouldn't just be about votes. It should be, you should have principles. And then there are times where you're going to compromise on specific things. But he made the point about, specifically about Elon Musk, how there are intersections that Elon Musk has with the conservative platform. And the intersection really rests in anti-woke. And he makes the point in that episode that I was watching this morning that being anti-woke is conservative. If you're a conservative person, you're pretty much going to be anti-woke. But not everybody who is anti-woke also is only conservative. Conservatives are anti-woke, but all anti-woke are not conservatives.
Yes.
And I think that's really kind of what shook out, to Larry Taunton's credit for pointing this out. It makes the Elon Musk thing make a whole lot more sense. And it also makes the Andrew Tate thing make a whole lot more sense. Now, a lot of you are listening and you have no idea who Andrew Tate is. Consider yourself fortunate. I think Andrew Tate is an abomination. And he basically, how would you describe him?
Super bro culture, which in some ways, like he was saying, in some ways you go, it's kind of refreshing. In other ways, you're like, no, this is not.
There's nothing about Andrew Tate that I would consider to be refreshing.
Well, the sort of testosterone of
what, he's a...
is something that I think is appealing. But there's nothing else to the ideology that he's,
you want to talk
preaching
about toxically masculine?
Mm-hmm. He is.
I don't think that he brings anything to the table. Like, I just the Andrew Tate is somebody who has been charged with. Has he been charged and convicted with sex trafficking?
I think he was charged, but that was in Romania.
Yeah, and then he was like extradited or something. There are allegations that have swirled around him. He very openly talks about how he can just go through women, and like the women who he has in his life are for his use, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing.
And that all folds into his display of masculinity. You can't separate it. Now, if you want to be somebody who is sick and tired of the way that the progressive left has demonized men who want to be men, be providers, to be strong, to be, biblically the head of the household. If you want to bring that back, I don't think that Andrew Tate is a contributor to that mentality at all.
No, I don't either, but I also think that that's what his appeal is. So acknowledging that, and it's like the Elon Musk thing, although Andrew Tate has a lot less of it, where there's crossover, you can acknowledge, okay, this is non-woke. I like that it's non-woke, but I also don't really espouse really any of the views that this guy is saying. But we have to be smart enough. I think this is what your guest was saying, Larry Alex Taunton, that we can be smart enough to discern those things. We can be smart enough to listen to somebody that we don't completely agree with, but that there are elements of it, and say, I like those elements, but I don't like the rest. And I think that we can do that.
What about what Elon Musk brings to the table do you disagree with?
Well, he definitely does not have a biblical worldview, so that would,
you could talk about the
us
way he treats women or uses women.
Yeah. Yeah. It's different than Andrew Tate, but certainly, it's definitely using. He does seem to believe that Elon Musk seems to believe that we are a little more godlike as humans.
Would you say he's libertarian? Does he call himself libertarian?
I don't know that he says libertarian, but he kind of is.
Like, in my mind, is the epitome of what libertarian is. Maybe somebody listening is like, Annie, you come yell at me on the YouTube chat.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like the application of being repulsed by woke culture and the constant babysitting of everything you do, Ryan, it's going to be watched. And if you step out of line, we're going to cancel you so fast. Like, that there's some sort of obligation we have as a society to stay within boundaries that are set by whom? Whoever is in charge of whatever is woke at that given time. I mean, that's a First Amendment freedom libertarian perspective to take, certainly. But that's not policy on a whole host of other things. Let's talk more about it here in a little bit. I do want to take a quick break. Corporal Jenny Schwartz is going to be with us. I wanted to get an update on this story. Some of you may have heard of it, but if you haven't, you need to. There was an incident in Clayton, and here locally, of course, Fox 2 reported that a series of overnight car fires in Clayton neighborhood are now being investigated as a hate crime. We're going to speak with Corporal Jenny Schwartz, who's a spokeswoman for the Clayton Police Department, to get the facts of what we know that happened and what they're looking into. Next on the Annie Fry Show. Don't go away.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Important story happening here locally. We've got a lot of reports on this situation that took place in Clayton. And I wanted to give an opportunity to our guest to talk about exactly what took place with some car fires that were set here in Clayton. Corporal Jenny Schwartz joins us now. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. You are the Clayton Police Public Information Officer. Corporal, thank you for your time today.
Thank you for speaking with us.
Of course. Just straight from your department there, can you tell us what took place? I guess it would have been the morning of August 5th in Clayton regarding some of these cars that were damaged and some of the details that went along with that.
Sure. So just after 3 a.m. on Tuesday morning, we responded to the 7500 block of Westmoreland where we were immediately met with three vehicles that were fully engulfed in flames. Our fire department was also on the scene trying to extinguish those fires. And while the officers were on the scene investigating, they discovered that there were some anti-Semitic graffiti written in the roadway as well. What we can tell and we're happy to say is that no injuries were reported. No one was actually hurt because of this incident physically.
Okay, so at 3 a.m., there are cars completely engulfed in flames. And, you know, we here live in the city of St. Louis, or we work here in the city of St. Louis. That's not an unusual thing to see in as far as crime goes around here. One of the reasons why this story is getting more attention than others is because of what else was found along with these cars on fire. Channel 4 on firstalert4.com reports that a Drone 4 captured video of the graffiti in which "death to the IDF" was written amongst this fire that was set. What can you tell us about the nature of these crimes and why that type of anti-Semitic graffiti might have been included?
So I do want to go back first and mention that although vehicle fires may be a common occurrence, this is not just vandalism. This is an act of intimidation that was targeted toward one of our residents. And violent crime like this is not common in our community. We have a very low violent crime rate in the city of Clayton. So anytime we have a crime of this magnitude, it's certainly frightening and unsettling, not only for the victim, but for our community as a whole.
Certainly. And I've heard you say the word targeted, and that's in multiple reports that I have here from local news outlets that refer to this being targeted. I have reports that one of the people who were targeted here is actually a member of the IDF and has served recently here in the IDF. Is that an accurate statement?
So it's our responsibility to make sure that we're not going to compromise the investigation in any way. But it's also our priority to make sure that our victim and his family is safe and that their privacy is respected. So we will not be giving any identifying information about who the victim in this case is or the content of the message that was written, other than to say that it was targeted at the victim and it included anti-Semitic rhetoric.
Corporal, I understand. This is Ryan Wiggins, by the way. I understand you're not trying to give any personal details, but just regarding the case, were the cars themselves owned by particular individuals, or was that completely random?
So the vehicles that were damaged were associated with our victim and the family.
Corporal Jenny Schwartz speaking with us right now, the Clayton Police Public Information Officer, speaking on this issue taking place early Tuesday morning in Clayton. Multiple cars damaged, engulfed in flames, as we have heard here in this report with the corporal. You've used the words targeted. We know that there was some anti-Semitic graffiti that has been reported to have been there. If you don't want to give specific details to that, how does it shift the investigation, the result of the efforts that you're making right now, when you know that this type of targeted hate rhetoric was included in the car fires?
So as I said before, this is unusual, and it's certainly frightening. Because of the content of the message, it has garnered a lot more attention than, say, just a vehicle fire would. We are working with our partners with the FBI as well as the St. Louis Regional Bomb and Arson Unit to investigate all aspects of this incident.
Have there been anything else that you've seen in Clayton specifically, any crimes, any sort of graffiti, tags, anything like that, in context with this one story? Anything else recently in the last weeks, months, that has garnered the same sort of hateful message?
We did have an incident involving graffiti at one of our elementary schools a few months ago. However, it was not targeted at a specific individual. And we did make an arrest in that incident.
Do you feel, Corporal, that do you feel as though you're going to be able to find the people who did this?
We are following every lead that comes in. We are confident that we will continue to work this and work with our partners to make sure that the individual or individuals responsible are held accountable.
Well, Corporal Jenny Schwartz, thank you for the time today. We appreciate it. We'd like to follow up with you as details do emerge and as the investigation does continue. We hope that you get to the bottom of this and the people are held fully accountable for their actions.
Thank you. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Corporal Jenny Schwartz, the Clayton Police Public Information Officer. We've got Channel 4's report up here. Sean Lodging wrote the article, but you can see there's our vehicles that were, as she said, when they came on scene, fully engulfed in flames and on the ground dead to the IDF. This is specifically targeted. The reports that I have received from individuals suggest that the people who are involved in this are also involved in that. And that, I mean, that's in Clayton.
Yep.
If you heard this story and it was in Baltimore or something like that, you'd be like, gosh, that's terrible. But that's right here. It's good to see that Clayton, the Clayton Police Department is on it, and I hope that they are able to fully investigate and find everybody who is accountable. Do you feel like, the Palestinian thing, you've seen those memes where people like, they're flying a flag and then the issue changes overnight and then they like just put that flag away and then they bring out the next flag. There are a lot of divisions of our society, people on different sides of the issue, and one side of that issue determines to have a public advocacy about it, and people handle that, whatever. I can't really believe that we are at a place in time right now where we're experiencing, in our middle age, this type of anti-Semitism as broadly invoked as it is right now. It's actually kind of like we grew up learning about Nazi Germany and World War II. And in my mind, and I know this is naive, and I speak to some of my Jewish friends, and I quickly understand how absolutely naive I am in it. But you felt like, World War II, we won. Solved that problem. Super. Stupidly naive.
Yeah, it is shocking to be now, we're in our early 40s. I remember watching movies. We're all in our early 40s. I remember watching movies with people like Paul Rudd, you know, just 10 years ago, making jokes about being Jewish and stuff. That now you watch it and you go, would that even happen? I don't think that we collectively,
because we're not far enough away from it now for it to be jokeable.
Right. Yeah. It used to be, oh, it's funny because, you know, Seinfeld made jokes about, you know, the Jewish nature of their lives and stuff. And you're like, ah, you know, everybody kind of thought it was fun and got along. And now you do those jokes and you just watch. I mean, you just watch those things now and you just react differently because you're like, ooh.
Too many people are on the side of hate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To have fun with it. And
yes.
Of course, the people who have fun with it have to be the Jerry Seinfelds of the world, who are a part of the community. They have to be the ones who come out and say, we're going to have fun with this right now. We feel bold enough in this that we're going to have fun with it. And while that has ebbed and flowed over the course of time, it's just shocking to me. And it does deserve our attention here on the show, our attention in our community, to understand that this stuff is here. It's in our backyard. And it is not to be tolerated. Not at all. Before we take a break, there's a story we haven't got to. I'm just going to read the headline for you here, because as far as news and politics of the Trump administration, things just keep getting better and better. Fox News reports the FBI on Thursday is ousting at least three officials, including former acting director and an officer involved in the January 6th investigations. Former FBI acting director Brian Driscoll is among those being forced out of the bureau. Sources similar with the matter told Fox News, along with Walter Giardina, a special agent, the bureau who played a role in the investigation of Trump trade advisor Peter Navarro and Steven Jensen, the acting director in charge of the Washington field office. Driscoll, for his part, served as acting director of the FBI to the confirmation of FBI Director Kash Patel. And Jensen played a key role in the January 6th investigation. Senior FBI officials told the agents in question that they need to leave by Friday with no specific reason given to them individually. Bye. That Fox News article put together by Breanne Depich, David Spunt, and Jake Gibson. Get them out of there.
That stuff needs to be happening faster.
Yeah, get them out of there. It's funny that they get till Friday to leave. Collect your things. Here's your box. All right, let's take a quick break. YouTube live chat poll right now. Should President Trump redo the census? It's going to cost a lot of money. It's also going to take up some time. If you listen to Hans von Spakovsky at 12:15 on the show, he said it's doable and could be put into play with new maps drawn before the next presidential election. Should we do it? Yes, and count only citizens. Yes, and count everybody here with legal status. Or no, this is a waste of time. Go vote in the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Back in a minute. Will eventually be a memory of You know, one of the things that Larry Taunton was talking to us about in the top of the 1 o'clock hour was about, and this is so important. Jared says this all the time because he's a history teacher. He's like, the difference between socialism and communism is that in communism, the government owns everything. You own nothing. That's something that you hear a lot of people talking about, the direction that the left wants to take government into, the place where you will own nothing and you will like it. Ron DeSantis here recently was this, gosh, when he talks like this, I'm like, this is the guy. I love this guy so much. But he makes so much sense. And I don't know why people aren't jumping onto this bandwagon faster if they haven't been. I haven't seen it. But when you're talking about the government owning things, or when he said fascism is like where, or socialism is like where you are allowed to own things, but it's so regulated by the government, that do you really?
The folks here really deserve. And, you know, I look about people here. Every time I run into someone, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm a Florida resident now. Like, people, when did you buy, where are you at? And they'll be like, oh, I'm in Santa Rosa Beach. When did you buy the property? Oh, I bought it in 2018. I'm like, you've made a lot of money off that property since then, because the values have gone up. And while there's good for that, because people that own it have more equity and have more wealth, you know, the reality is, if they're going to come tell you your house is worth twice as much than what you purchased it, and you got to pay higher taxes as a result, that's a negative of having rising property values. And it's an unrealized gain. You sell your house, it's one thing on a transaction for someone to say to tax, like a sales tax, but to say you're just enjoying property and all of a sudden the value, so you have to pony up. We don't really do that in anything else. I mean, you buy a stock, you hold it, and then you're taxed when you sell it. The stock doubles, they don't just tax you as you hold it. So unrealized gains is not the way you want to run a tax system, but our property tax system basically relies on these unrealized gains. So we're going to work hard to provide relief. But ultimately, we can't, as elected leaders, deliver the relief without the voters approving it at the ballot box. And so just get ready. You're going to have an opportunity to do that.
God, I love this guy so much. I'm going to Florida, guys.
I know. When he talks about this, I'm like, whoa, baby, it's cold outside. Why don't you come inside and warm up, Mr. Ron DeSantis? Because I love you. I took that a little far, and I'll admit that.
I understand
the
sentiment.
But I like what he's saying. I like what he's saying about property tax. I never would have thought about the unrealized gains. That's totally true.
It's exactly true. It's exactly what it is. You get to rent your property from the government for the rest of your life based on the value that you will never actually, if you live in that house for the rest of your life, you'll never actually enjoy.
Yeah.
Somebody will someday, but it ain't going to be you. But you're going to have to pay for it and rent it from the government for the entire time. Why does J.B. Pritzker suck so much?
It's the only industry that we do that. You don't tax on unrealized gains.
Yet.
Well, thank you.
The Democrats were really...
They want
that was, to. That was part of the package.
Yeah.
That the Democrats were putting out there trying to get through when Joe Biden was actively, with the Democrat majority, trying to move and shake. It's so true.
If you heard that and you didn't quite catch what he said, because I get it, if you're driving, catch what he's saying here. You should be paying property taxes, if at all, on the value of the house when you bought the house, not what the government has perceived it to be worth now, because no other industry is regulated that way. That is the only spot where you are taxed on unrealized gains.
I wonder if the taxes should be capped at some point as well. Like, if you bought that house when you got married and you just lived in the same house the whole time, like, I wonder if you shouldn't have to spend more than you paid for the house.
Well, there are tax, like, caps for senior and primary residents.
I'm talking about over the course of your lifetime, that there should be some sort of factor that says that you can't, over the course of your lifetime, have to pay for the value, whatever you invested in your house originally, you shouldn't have to pay that five times over.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, that, like, you paid $100,000 for the house in 1997, and now you've paid $120,000 in taxes over the last 25 years.
And will continue till you die.
There should absolutely be a cap.
So the only way to invoke something like that, because Florida already doesn't have an income tax, is consumer taxes, I would assume.
Or we just shrink the size of government.
You still have to pay for it.
Yeah,
it doesn't
matter
how small it is, but
well,
yeah.
Well, certainly. But I mean, you can shrink. Yes, obviously. But I mean, consumer taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You pay for what you consume.
I would love to find a way, and I'm not saying there is a way to do this, but if there is, Ron DeSantis will find it. A way to bring in revenue in some other way. Trump's trying it with tariffs at the federal level. I'm not saying you could do that in Florida. But if there's a way to offset this creatively, where you don't have to add a new tax, like with a sales tax, but could somehow cap property taxes or get rid of them entirely, I would love to see the plan. Because DeSantis is talking about it, which means he's thinking about it.
The other thing, too, though, is when you are like a place like Florida, where you've created something, granted, God made it beautiful and wonderful, but you've got an influx of people coming all the time. when you have a destination, when you create something where people want to come be, and you're doing a consumer tax, then you're using the tourism that exists there as a way to make it a more beautiful place to live there and to sustain it. You certainly have to cut back government, and I think that Ron DeSantis has done everything he can to make that a possibility, but gosh. Are we breaking? No?
Yep. Not here, though.
Okay. Well, because of Herman Cain, honestly, because that was his plan was...
Godfather Pizza.
If we do this, we can add a national sales tax. I'm just opposed to adding new taxes. And if we can avoid doing that...
Well, it wouldn't have to be a national sales tax.
For property taxes?
Property taxes, that's a state...
I know, I'm just saying, like, because of him pitching the idea of, well, if we do this, then we could do this. I've just never been in favor of... Let's add a new tax, because typically you add a new one, and the old one, maybe it gets reformed,
but
it doesn't go away.
Every dollar that you make, from the time you make it, how many times it goes through getting taxed. And taxed, and taxed, and taxed,
forever.
Taxed, and taxed.
Property is the worst of them, too.
It is. Let's take a quick break. Annie, are you okay in the middle of the 2 o'clock hour? We'll be right back. How far is heaven?
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.